I have always heard, if you get a good song leader, you don't have to get much of a preacher. I think the elders here must have had that in mind when they got Frank and asked me to come. I am delighted to be here. What a wonderful attendance that we have today. And it is certainly good for me to be able to be here and to work with Frank Cleaver. Frank and I have worked on a number of occasions together, and it's a great honor to be with him this week. I was thinking back, I mentioned to Brother Hardy just a few moments ago. You remember several years ago when we had the over at the Glencliff Football Stadium, we brought in Brother Jimmy Allen from Searcy, Arkansas, and he spoke. We had different song leaders each night, and two of the five song leaders are here this morning, one being Brother Hardy and the other being Brother Cleaver. And we're delighted that both of those men are here, and of course the Hardys are part of this congregation, and we're grateful. I want to just, at the beginning, thank the elders for asking me to come and to be a part of this week. I'm excited about it. Anytime a preacher's been somewhere and they invite him back, I tell you what, that's always a joy. And I feel that a joy today. I do appreciate, and we could go on naming visitors, and we'll not do that, but I just want to mention two people. It is certainly good to have Donna Whitworth and Brother Jerry's mother here this morning. I appreciate both of them coming from Murfreesboro and being with us. I love Jerry, and you love Jerry, and you love these people, and I love these people, and what an inspiration you just being here today it is for me. Now, you just go right ahead and use those fans. It won't bother me. I'm going to talk for 2 hours, and I don't care what happens to you out there. Let me just tell you something. My aunt is sitting out here, and she can verify what I'm fixing to say. When I was a little boy, we went to Seyfried Street Church of Christ. It ran right off of 25th Avenue and a little small place. And we had a different speaker, always the same one on the first Sunday, always the same one on the second Sunday and the third Sunday, but we had four different preachers. And on the fourth Sunday of every month, Brother Jimmy Allen came. Not the one from Searcy, Arkansas. This man then was about 100 years old. He'd get up in the pulpit. He'd preach for an hour. He never opened his Bible. He always carried a little Bible about like this. And he'd just wad it up, stand there in the pulpit like this, and quote scripture after scripture after scripture. Well, I did not remember him being there the month before and taking off his jacket. But the next month he came, and my aunt was there, and I was there, and he got up in the pulpit, and he said, last month when I was here, because we didn't have air conditioners, this is so long ago, I don't even know if anybody had air conditioners, had a couple of window fans, and he said, I took off my coat and laid it over here in the chair, and some of you ladies criticized me. You could have heard a pin drop. But then he said, but I'll have you to know, I could take off my coat and trousers and have on more than some of you have got on. I tell you what, you could have heard a Kleenex fall that time. So anyway, I'll not take off my jacket, even though I've been encouraged to by several of you, and I will not make that statement. But I figure if I go to the cemetery and stand out in the hot sun with a jacket on, then for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I can stand up here with my jacket on as well. I talked to Brother Smith when he this past week and about, and I asked him, I said, is there anything particularly that you want me to talk about in the meeting? Anything that the elders here would like for me to say? He said, no, you just use your own judgment. And I said, that being the case, all week I want us just to talk about Jesus. This morning we talked about Jesus, the answer to man's problems. And tonight we're going to talk about listen to the blood of Jesus. And tomorrow night we're going to be talking about, I believe in the one they call Jesus. And then, as our meeting comes to a close on Tuesday evening, we're going to be talking about, hallelujah, what a Savior. But this morning, I want us to talk about Jesus, the difference in my life. If there's anything that this world in which we are a part of needs, we need Jesus Christ. If there's anybody that is the answer to man's problems, it is Jesus Christ. If there is anybody that can make a difference in your life and in my life, it is Jesus Christ. If there's anything or anybody that we need to listen to, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, when I think about it, I believe in the one they call Jesus. For you see, if I do not believe, and if you do not believe in the one they call Jesus, then nothing else really matters. And in the day of judgment, when Jesus Christ looks at me and says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," I think I'll be in a position to say, "Hallelujah! I've made it." Not because I was so good, but because of Jesus. So let's just think about this week, Jesus. And this morning, let's think about the difference that He's made in your life and the difference that He's made in mine. Where do you think you might be today if it were not for Jesus? Do you think you might be here? Probably not. I don't know if you grew up in a church family. I don't know if you married a Christian. I don't know if somebody knocked on your door at some point and said, "Can I come in and sit down and study with you?" I don't know why you're here. And all of us are here for various reasons. Maybe because we grew up in a church family. Maybe because somebody loved us and cared for us and somebody invited us. But I'll tell you what. No matter the reason that you're here today, every single one of us are here because of Jesus Christ. Because we believe that Jesus can and has and will make a difference in our lives. What stops us today when we leave this place from stopping down here by a beer joint or going down here into this adult bookstore? It's Jesus Christ. What makes the difference in our life in some of the things that we say and some of the things that we do? What makes the difference in our language? What causes us not to use the Lord's name in vain? Not to bring His name down to the filth and the muck of the earth? It's Jesus. Because we realize and we know that Jesus has the power to change and to motivate. And Jesus Christ has the power that in the day of judgment that He can say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys prepared from the foundations of the world for you." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward one day to living with Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward one day to being with Jehovah God. I'm looking forward one day of seeing them face to face and walking that street of gold. And the reason is because Jesus Christ has and can and will make a difference in our lives. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. I mentioned to Brother Smith, I said probably the majority of the people that I'll be speaking to are probably members of the Church of Christ. But everybody is welcome. And the message of Jesus Christ is for everybody. And this morning, if you're here and you're not a part of the family of God, let me tell you. Let me help you to understand and to realize and know what a difference that Jesus Christ can be in your life. It's in the Gospel of John. It's in the 10th chapter, and it's verse 10. It is there that Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." I am glad that Jesus Christ Himself said, "I can. I will make a difference in your life." And it's in John 10:10 that He says, oh no, not in those exact words. But when He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it to the fullest, that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have it better than the rest of the world, that you might have it differently, Jesus is saying, I am come to make a difference. And if you believe me and love me and follow me and serve me and obey me, I'll make the difference in your life. Isn't it amazing today how that the world looks at things? There are those that say, well, you know, if I could just have a happy marriage, I think I'd be the happiest person in my life. If I could just do something else, I think I'd be the happiest person in my life. I knew a lady one time, I was teaching Sunday school, and in the Sunday school class, she raised her hand, she said, Brother Bird, we was talking on the home, she said, Brother Bird, she said, I met my husband on a dance floor on Saturday night, and we were married the next day by noon. And her marriage proved it. If there was any marriage that's ever rock and roll, it was that one, believe me. I spent many an hour with them. And I thought, yeah, you didn't say what kind of marriage it was, though. You know, but matter of fact, one of the richest men in all the world, J. Paul Getty, he was worth billions. Matter of fact, he lived in a mansion. That mansion was surrounded on the outside and on the inside by vicious guard dogs. That mansion had 500 windows to it, and there were steel bars on every window and every door. Every night when he went to bed, his bedroom was lined with steel, and his door to his bedroom was steel. There was a guard that stood on the outside of his door every night while he was in bed asleep. He was married 5 different times. He had 5 sons by 4 different wives. In 1958, one of his sons died and he did not even attend the funeral. He had another son to die and he didn't go. He had another son that he disinherited. J. Paul Getty, a billionaire, said, I would have given all of my money for just one happy marriage. Somebody else says, if I can have healthy, happy children, then I'll be married. I'll be happy. That's what would make me happy. Matter of fact, children are a blessing to every home, and I know for a fact that to be. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and in verse 1, the wise man says, a wise son maketh a glad father. And then from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter down in verse 4, God has given them to us to train them, to bring them up in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. We have a great responsibility as parents. It is said that all of us ought to have to at least one time a month walk through the corridors of a nursing home and see how people, their physical bodies get into. It would only make us to appreciate our good health even more. What makes for a happy life? What makes the difference in your life? What makes the difference in my life? Really, is it happy marriages? Is it really happy children? Is it the finer things in life that we can hold on to? Matter of fact, it's John that says in 1 John 2, down in verse 15, when he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All the things of the world pass away. Some people in life get so carried up sometime and carried away with the finer things in life that they forget who makes the difference. Who makes the difference in your life? Who makes the difference in my life? Even as important as our mates are, even as important as our children are, the difference in life is not brought about by happy marriages. And that's very important. It's not brought about by healthy, happy children, and that's important. It's not brought about by the finer things in life. Well, matter of fact, the great Apostle Paul, he had not the finer things. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. He didn't have anything of the world's possessions. And in Philippians 3, down in verse 8, he said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was saying? I'm going to tell you what he was saying. Paul was saying is, Jesus Christ is the difference in my life. That's the reason I serve Him. That's the reason I don't mind the shipwrecks. That's the reason I don't mind the scourging. That's the reason I don't mind the beatings, as difficult and painful as they are. Jesus Christ is the difference today for the world. Oh, how I wished, and oh, how you wish, that the world could know Jesus like we know Jesus. Oh, how I wish that the world today could sing these beautiful hymns that Brother Cleaver has led us in. And you sung those hymns like you meant it. You sung those hymns like you believed them. And you do. Jesus Christ, the difference in my life. Quickly this morning, let me tell you why Jesus can make a difference. Let me tell you this morning how that Jesus can make a difference in your life and in mine. First of all, we have a Father that will never fail us. You know, every day, fathers come home, every day, and tell their wives, "I don't love you anymore. I want out." Every day, fathers come in and they gather their children around and they say, "You know what? You notice that me and your mom's been fussing and fighting a lot? I'm leaving. I don't love your mother anymore. And I'm leaving. I'm leaving you too. I'm going somewhere else. But I'm here to tell you that we have a Heavenly Father that will never leave us. We have a Father who knows us far better than any earthly father there is. Matthew the 10th chapter down in verse 30. "But the very hair of your head, there numbers." In 1 John 3 and in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Jesus, the difference in your life and mine. Because we have a Father who loves us. A Father who will not fail us. God knows us. In 1 John 3, verses 20, "God is greater than our hearts, and He knows us." In 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon Him, because He careth for you." In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him," through Jesus Christ, "might be saved." That's the answer today. What makes the difference in your life? What makes the difference in my life? It is Jesus Christ. It is having a Father that will never, never fail me. It's having a Father that forgives. 1 John 2 and in verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you." But secondly this morning, and quickly, I have a family that will never leave me. 21 times in 1 Thessalonians, we're called brethren. And Paul's epistle, he calls 79 people by names. Several years ago, I went to Scotland. Alex Strachan, some of you know Alex. Alex invited me over for a gospel meeting. Faye and Brittany and myself, we went. Brittany's just a baby. We'd traveled all the way to Scotland, and Alex had said, "I'll meet you at the airport." Whew, that was good. I didn't know where I was going. It wasn't in downtown Scotland, I'll tell you. We drove and drove and drove. And well, we got on a train first and went. And then we drove. And Alex said, "I'll meet you there." We got off of a plane and I'm looking for Alex. And Alex is not in that airport. I didn't know where to call him. I didn't know nothing but to get on the plane and come back to Nashville. I know tomorrow I'm supposed to preach over there, somewhere in Scotland. And in a minute, some man that I'd never seen in my life, some man walked up to me and said, "Are you Brother Bird?" I didn't know whether to hold up my hands if I was being arrested or what. I said, "Yes." He said, "Alex got tied up and he sent me. Thank you." And he carried us to where we were going. You see, he said, "Are you Brother Bird?" I knew right then that man was on my side. I didn't know his name. I didn't care right then. I just knew that help was right there. You see, we have a family. A family that will not leave us. A father that will not fail us. A family that will not leave us. I have family today in 130 different nations. No, their name's not Bird, but they're my church family. 130 different nations. In 1765, a young preacher by the name of John Fawcett, he preached for a little small church in Wainsgate, England. Wasn't even keeping his family fed. And he told the congregation, he said, "I've got to leave." And in another town, he got a place to preach, and he told them he'd come. The congregation had begged him to stay, and he said, "I can't. I can't. I can't feed my family." He got out the wagon, they'd loaded it up, had his wife and his children on the wagon. And just before they pulled away from Wainsgate, England, the people in that congregation and the people in that town came out. And they brought food and things and they said, "If you'll just please stay, we'll help you." And that preacher turned to his wife and children and said, "Unload the wagon. How can we leave people that love us?" You see, today, Jesus, the difference in your life and in my life, is people that love us. I know they love you. Announced here just a minute ago about people that's out sick. You don't love people, you don't announce about them. When people are going through trials and difficulties, you announce about them. Somebody comes and prays for them. You love them. Somebody has a death in the family, you go to the funeral home, you love them. You see, we have a family. My physical family may leave me. They may turn on me. They may reject me. They may never speak to me again. I may give them reason to do that. But I tell you what, if my heart is right with the Lord and my life is right, I have a Father that will never fail me. I have a family that will never leave me. And thirdly, I have forgiveness that knows no bounds. The other day, and I'm one of these individuals, I don't like to early vote. I like to go to the polls. I like to see the candidates out there. I like to see the people passing out the stuff. I like to get it. I like to see the person that I'm fixing to vote for. I like to say, "I'm voting for your man. That's my man too, or that's my woman." I just like to go to the polls. But I went to the polls just this past, when was it, Thursday, Tuesday, or Thursday? Anyway, I went on the day I got to vote. And they had chalk on the church parking lot. And they had chalked across there a line. You vote where I do. Did you early vote? You went over there when I did. He knows what I'm saying. We vote the same place. And it said, 100-foot boundary. Don't cross this line. We'll cut your head off. Don't cross this line. Now that was for those people passing out the stuff. Don't cross this line. Boundary there. And if you parked over here in another place, you could get around that line, see and get around these people. And I saw some people doing it. I did. I went right amongst them. I wanted them all to give me something. I think in my pocket here, in the suit I had on just yesterday, I had some fingernail files that some candidate had given me. But the point is, we have forgiveness that has no boundaries. I don't care where I've been. I don't care what I've done. I have a Heavenly Father that's going to forgive me. Folks, you can't buy that with money. But Jesus Christ bought it with His own precious blood. When He went to the cross, I know the difference in people and how hard it is for people to stay faithful. I watch people as they've gone from the uttermost to the guttermost in my preaching career. I watch people that was serving the Lord, that quit serving Him. But I've also watched those people as they've come back to Jesus. And I might forgive you, but I might remember if you do me wrong. But the Bible says we have a Heavenly Father who can forgive and can forget. And remember against us no more. So yes, I have forgiveness through Jesus Christ that makes the difference in my life and the difference in yours that has no boundaries. In 1 John 1 and in verse 7, John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sins. All our sins. Look at Moses. A man that was chosen by God. A man that was a leader for God. Brought God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And you know what? Moses killed a man. And an Egyptian. And after he had killed a man, God called him to use him. Look at David. David lied and cheated and committed adultery and had a man put on the front line and killed. And yet, he was a man after God's own heart. The reason is he could ask for forgiveness. And God could forgive him. Because God has no boundaries for forgiveness. I look at Simon Peter, one of the chosen, who cursed and swore and said, I don't know the man whom Jesus just hours earlier had said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he went out and wept. And he stood and preached that first gospel sermon. And I think about Saul of Tarsus, who went about persecuting the church and persecuting Christians. On the road to Damascus, was stricken blind, that his eyes might be opened, that he might see more clearly than ever before, who became the great apostle Paul, who caused many people to turn to Jesus. Why? Because Paul could see the difference in the lives of people through Jesus Christ. Because Paul could understand and say, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, where there are no bounds for sin, if I'm willing to ask for forgiveness. And he was. And then in closing, quickly, I want to just say, I have a future that has no end. You know, most everything in life ends. Life does. Jobs do. Vacations do. I don't want to get whipped this morning, but the summer's fixing to end and these kids are going to be back in school. They'll be kicking me on the shins in a minute. Mentioning that. Starts. You see, everything just about has an end to it. Just about everything. But I have a future that has no end. My life will stop. My vacation will stop. My money may run out. Everything ends. But I have a future. But when I close my eyes and fold my hands here, my future's just beginning. Jesus Christ, the difference in your life and mine. Jesus came to this earth and lived and died that He might bring about the difference in the world and in your life. And this morning, if He's not the difference in your life, would you come to Jesus? We're talking about Jesus this morning. We're talking about this morning, Jesus, the difference in my life. Earlier we talked about Jesus, the answer to man's problems. Jesus can be the difference in your life. And if you're once become a child of God and there's some things in your life and you need to pray for the church, would you come to Jesus this morning? You have never given your life to Christ. Jesus can be the difference. He can make you one of His. And when life is over, then our future has just started. Just started. Jesus, the difference in my life. I have a future that has no end. It's all over with you. You need to be baptized. All things are ready. We need to pray with you and for you. If you need to just recommit your life to Christ, would you come to Jesus right now as we stand and sing?
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come for the table now is spread. Ye family.